Boy, I'm telling you what, it raised a ruckus in the nation, but I knew I had a word from God. And you know, when you have a word from God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, you know something that nobody else knows.
Absolutely.
God has a word just for you. All you have to do is listen to His voice. Join Kenneth Copeland and his special guest Rick Renner as they continue with this week's teaching, Victory Revealed, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I tell you what, I'm glad you're here today because I'm telling you, this is the greatest time to be a man and a woman of faith and stand up and believe God that we've ever known. Think about it. We are closer today to the catching away of the church than we've ever been. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Closer than we've ever been. Glory to God.
Could happen anytime.
Any moment, anytime. Let her happen, sonny. I'm telling you, this is good time. This is our appointed time. It's time for the body of Christ. And what it's done, particularly the last 100 years, we came to a place from absolute darkness. They even called it the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
But God wasn't dark, and the kingdom of God worked then the same as it worked now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and think about this, Rick. You could have flown a 747 in the Garden of Eden if you'd known how to build one.
Mm.
I mean, the problem was not knowing how. And men were capable of it. God intended for them to do it. It would have been easy for Adam if he lasted long enough to ever get, because he could think. He could think in God until he blew the blessing away and darkened himself. But God don't quit.
Mm.
He just keeps revealing. He just keeps revealing. Glory to God.
Mm.
Now, when Satan made his big move in socialist principles and so forth, any government that tries to meet the man's of need without God is socialism. I don't care whether it's a monarch or whether it's socialism. It is an ism built on society instead of built on the kingdom of God. So anyway, but the socialistic forms like communism, national socialism, like the Nazi Party in Germany, and so forth. It got up to that point, and right at the tail end of the 19th century, Satan was ready to make his move.
Mm-hmm.
So he started in, and he's pushing all this. And he knows that you ain't going to just cram this down the throat of the United States. You're going to have to be progressive, and you can do it a little at a time. But in the rest of the world, man, I mean, he pushed it hard. And here is the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. Here, 1913, the Federal Reserve Act in the United States, progressive socialism on the move, you know. And all of these things, he's really pushing, and it's socialism is really coming up strong. But think about it, Rick. When this was going on, when he made his big move toward the 20th century, what else did socialism create? The bloodiest century known to mankind.
The bloodiest in all human history.
All human history. But what else was going on at the same time? I mean, here is the socialistic move and its pushes and its, and it looked like it just was not going to be stoppable. But hey, 1900, Coffeyville, Kansas, outpouring of the Holy Ghost. 1906, Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost is moving all over the world. No wonder they just hate Christianity. It is the biggest problem socialism has.
And there was a Russian Pentecostal filled with the Spirit at Azusa Street who took Pentecost to Odessa, Ukraine, and that's how Pentecostalism started moving all over Russia.
All over Russia.
It came from Mezuzah Street.
Yeah, and now communism fell, and God doing real good. So that's just an overlay of what you and I have been experiencing in God revealing himself to the church. Well, what happens when these truths take root and they begin to be revealed? It's like somebody learning how to make a watch. He's studying to become a watchmaker. The first one he makes probably won't even run. But then he gets one that'll run. And it loses an hour a day, but at least it's working. Well, he just keeps working, keeps developing, and then he hands it down to his son, and his son develops it further and further and further. And it's been handed down to son after son after son after son, and finally, man, I mean, this thing is it's a fine piece of equipment. Well, the watch has been put together, and it's right now doing real well, and it's time to put the thing to the test. And that's where we are. Revealed truth in the most powerful moment the body of Christ has ever known. Rick, there are more people filled with the Holy Ghost that know how to take God's word and believe it, I mean, and stand on it and stay with it until manifestation comes ever before in the history of the earth.
There are 640 million spirit-filled people in the world today. That's the newest statistic I read.
And that's dangerous.
640 million.
Think about that, man. That's how many they can count.
Yeah.
That doesn't count the 5 million of them that got baptized in the Holy Ghost in the last hour.
it means we're no longer the cult stuck over in the corner.
No, we're not.
We're as mainline as mainline
Absolutely.
Comes.
Absolutely. Praise God. Let's go over here at the last chapter of the book of Mark.
Let's go there.
And I want to comment on something here because in the middle of all of this, the thing that makes the natural news is the socialistic part of it. Those that are for it, those that are against it, those that are afraid of it, and so forth. But that's what you hear in the news. You hear very little of the answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care how bad the famine gets. When people that know the word sow in famine, they reap. Simply because Jesus laid the foundation down and then put himself in guarantee of it when he was raised from the dead, that if you will seek this kingdom, put it first, promote the kingdom of God. I'm here for the kingdom of God. What does the kingdom need me to do? And so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Then all these things will be added to you. And I don't care what the government thinks about it. Amen. And Christians in the United States have trouble with this because they've always been able to think, well, you know, I guess I'll just put it on my Visa card rather than believe God. Well, some of these days that Visa card, and right now for a lot of people, you can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're a bit nervous about government takeover and all of that. Get in the Word, man. Do what Jesus said. I want to point this out. Jesus, in this 15th verse, said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, as you Rick, you know more than I do about these things because you're a Greek scholar, you're a Hebrew scholar, and not only that, you have great revelation of the word.
Thank you.
People, natural people, the word world and the word earth mean the same thing. But in Scripture, it doesn't.
No, they're not the same thing.
They're not the same thing. And let me say it like this. Go into all of that Babylonian socialistic system out there and preach the word.
Yeah, it's the word cosmos. Go into the whole ordered system. It talks about society, everything that's been built. It talks about a whole order or a whole arrangement.
Now, wherever in the earth that takes you,
right,
that's a different issue. But Jesus is specifically saying, you remember in Galatians 3, the gospel, the word, preach the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. That's the gospel, the good news. Jesus said he preached the gospel to the poor. Poor man, you don't have to be poor no more. The blessing of Abraham is here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So, go into all that system and preach. It didn't say go into all the democratic countries and preach.
Mm-hmm.
No, he said go into that whole system out there where the people are trapped,
mm-hmm,
and get them out. Now, this thing works if you'll do what Jesus said. Anywhere, even if you're building a church in a communist nation that don't want a church, there's no money to build a church, and they just assume you hadn't come, and you're building the first new church building in how many years?
55.
55 years, they hadn't even been a new church. And here, you're going to go do it? So, but I want you to tell that story.
Well, God told me to build a building. And we were...
And you were in Riga, right?
We were in Riga at that time. And a new church building had not been constructed for 55 years. And it was such a national event that they called a convocation of all the architects of the nation. Now, the nation's not real big, but if you were an architect, you were summoned to the city of Riga, and they had a three-day discussion about what should a church look like in our generation, because no one had seen one.
They didn't know.
And I sat and listened to them.
My goodness.
And the first 2 days, my job was to listen. And they said, well, should it have a steeple? If it has a steeple, does it have to have a bell?
Now, these are government people, right?
These are government people. If it has a bell, does it have to be plastic? Can it be a real bell? Can it be an artificial bell? They had no idea what a church should look like in our generation. No one had ever seen a church constructed. And that most of the churches that were there were museums, or they were used to store grain or salt or other kinds of things during the Soviet period. And so no one had even gone to church.
They really didn't see any use. They couldn't figure out why you wanted to build one in the first place, probably.
They were speechless, Brother Copeland. And the building was big. You've been there. That was
yes.
A big building. And, boy, I'm telling you what, it raised a ruckus in the nation. But I knew I had a word from God. And, you know, when you have a word from God, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know something that nobody else knows.
Absolutely.
It just gives you faith.
Now, there's something else you need to know about this. Particularly there, if a government official, and particularly back then,
mm-hmm,
if a government official said, okay, that's good, and we sign a contract, he changes nothing, mind tomorrow and tear the contract.
Contract doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. And we had so many enemies against us when we were building that building, that when we ordered the metal, now you have to remember the Soviet Union collapsed. I mean, it just collapsed. So there was a deficit. I said yesterday there was a deficit of eggs, toilet paper. There was a deficit of everything. You couldn't buy metal for a building. So the metal for our building, we bought in the state of Tennessee. And we shipped that entire building from the United States to the Soviet Union. And while it was en route, somebody high in power who didn't want us to build a building canceled our right to receive anything of a humanitarian status. So now we've got this metal halfway between the United States and the Soviet Union. The boat can't go back, and I can't receive the metal. And you talk about a miracle. One day I was sitting home, and I was saying, well, Lord, I've got a little dilemma here. I've got metal in the middle of the Atlantic. It can't go home. I can't receive it here. What do I do? And my phone rang. And it was the U.S. ambassador. And Denise and I had already lived there longer than any other American. So from time to time, he would call me and he would ask me questions because there was not even an embassy when we moved there. So he would say, Rick, can you tell me about the early years, about this, about that? And I answered his question. And he said, now, is there anything I can do for you? I said, well, since you asked, I have this little problem. I said, there's a ship in the middle of the Atlantic bringing the building for our new church, and the government has rescinded our rights to receive it. He said, Rick, I'll take care of that. He said, make an appointment, I'll go with you. And I'm telling you, Brother Copeland, God is my witness. This is not an exaggeration. He and I walked into that meeting, and when that U.S. ambassador sat at that table, it was like God walked in that room.
He did.
And the man that was opposed to us, the ambassador said, I mean, this is what he said. Mr. Renner's medal for his building is on the way. If you do not allow him to receive this medal, we will stop providing the financial support to this republic that we are currently providing. Now, you've got a choice. You either give him his medal or you're losing the financial support of the United States. And the man that was my enemy said, of course he can have his medal. And Mr. Renner, is there anything else that you need?
And just like that,
it turned everything for us.
Rick, there's another astonishing story that just, I think about it a lot. When it was in one of the Islamic nations that you took a demo tape of our ministry in there to the guy that ran the station.
It's a funny story, Brother Copeland.
One of the things you have to realize is a lot of those stations kept us and our broadcast on the air because we paid our bills and we paid them on time.
On time.
And we paid them in cash.
We paid them in cash and we were kind to them. We made friends with them.
But I want you to tell, you know the story I'm talking about. I want you to tell it.
I don't want to name the country, but it was a Muslim country. You can't be more Muslim than this country. And God spoke to me and said, go on TV in that country. Well, at that particular time, they were in war with another country. And so the director of the national TV station called and said, don't come today. People are being killed today. Let's wait and see how it is tomorrow. So he called the next day and he said, it seems like everything is clear. Come quick. So I jumped on a plane and three of us flew to that country. And Brother Copeland, when we came into that station, we were sitting there waiting to meet the national TV director, and all of a sudden, now here I am sitting in the hallway of this big station, I hear machine guns, and at one end of the building, the fighting has started all over again, and these guys are running through the hallways carrying machine guns, and I can hear them shooting at the other end of the building when the door opens to the national TV director's office, who says, it's time for your meeting now. Would you like a cup of coffee? Would you like some tea? And I'm thinking, I think they're killing people right down there, and right now we're going to negotiate television. So we walked into the office, and the TV director was a woman. Well, in a Muslim world, that's almost unheard of. And the particular broadcast, well, first of all, she said, you think you're going to broadcast a Christian TV program here? Do you realize where you are? She said, they can view our program all the way to Tehran, in the nation of Iran. How do you think the Iranians are going to feel about watching your Christian TV program? And something just rose up in me, and I said, you know, ma'am, I flew a long way to get here, and I'm not going to leave till you watch a program. And when that first videotape was put in, because back in the days of videotapes, the program was about marriage. Well, Muslim wives are treated really bad. And this whole program was about love, how to be kind. And she sank down in her chair and she watched the whole 30-minute program, eyes quietly praying in tongues. And when it finished, she said, do you have any more of these programs? I said, yeah, I do. She said, put in another one. We sat there as that woman watched four of those programs. And when she was finished, she said, how much would you like to pay and when would you like to start? I mean, God just turned that thing. You know, you have to be willing to go and do what nobody else is willing to do if you want to get a result.
The thing that has always struck me, Rick, these horrible situations that Christians get into that other Christians don't want any part of, but other people don't realize how adequate overwhelmingly adequate the grace of God is when you get into that situation.
You're gifted for it.
Yeah. And when you're there on account of He asked you to go, it's totally different to you than what it looks like to me it must have been.
You know, Brother Copeland, the call in my life is more like an apostolic call. And so when you put me in an environment where there's bullets shooting down there and we're negotiating a contract right here and there's a bomb across the street, something in me just comes alive. I just feel anointed for that environment.
That's the blessing of Abraham. It's the blessing of you. Remember what happened to Job? And the reason Satan got so hacked off at Job, and he's mad at God, and he said, "Does he serve you for nothing? You blessed him, and he's got a wall around him." Well, until Job broke that wall down with fear, Satan couldn't get in there. It was the secret place of the Most High God.
I walk in Psalm 91.
That horrible, horrible prison. You were at our minister's conference here a few weeks ago. And you told about the environment that the Apostle John was in on the Isle of Patmos and what the dear old man went through. Between 90 and 100 years old, man.
He was probably about 96.
He's really banging him around out there and all that. But the thing that just stuck in me was that prison that the Apostle Paul was in, that he and Peter were about the only two that ever escaped out of that mess.
Yeah, it was horrible.
And I see that in my mind and I think, how under God's heaven could anybody... In the first place, how could God ask a man to put up with that? And on the other place, how could anybody ever go through that? But you have to remember this. God knows what He can do. He knows how to get you out of the fiery furnace. The fiery furnace didn't get bad, and then God went in there. No, He was in there all the time.
And they got a revelation in that furnace.
Yeah, and when the grace of God got bigger than the deal, it got good in that furnace. It's grace at its best. And we're out of time. Let's take it up there tomorrow and get into some of these things, because I tell you, it's overwhelming to me, because I've had God to ask us to do things that otherwise you wouldn't dare.
Oh, I know.
There's no way.
I've seen you do it.
And but it, right then it looks like, hey, yeah, let's do that. It doesn't look like any problem at all. But when you step out in faith, believe in grace and mercy and how to walk and live by faith, come on, man. That's where that gets real. We'll be back in just a moment.
Salvation. The word salvation is the Greek word sozo, which in this particular case would be better translated liberation or release.
Rick Renner, world-renowned author, Greek language scholar, and biblical historian, presents his new book, A Light in Darkness, Volume 1, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches. This landmark work combines archaeological facts, biblical history, and precise Greek interpretation to recreate the life and times of the early church. By illuminating the cultural attitudes, locations, and social realities of times when John wrote Revelation, A Light in Darkness illustrates the relevance of Jesus' words in the book of Revelation to our lives today. Volume 1 brings the prison island of Patmos and cities of Ephesus and Smyrna to life. Rick Renner's meticulous attention to detail takes the reader on a journey through pagan temples and ancient marketplaces to understand the trials of the early church that will change the world. This unique book is written in terms that everyone can understand and enjoy. Order A Light in Darkness, the new book by Rick Renner, at a 20% savings for $64.95 plus $4.99 shipping and handling. Other shipping options for faster delivery are available online at kcm.org. Remember, You'll receive an additional product discount when you order your book through our website. To order by phone or mail, use the information on your screen. A Light in Darkness vividly brings the Bible to life. Order your copy today.
A Light in Darkness, Seven Messages to the Seven Churches, Volume 1. My goodness, Rick, if that's Volume 1, whoa, this looks like Volume 7, 8, 9, and 10 to me. If the Lord told me to do something like that, but if he told me to do it, the grace would be there to do it.
Yes, it would.
But this is just, I'm so blessed with this, and I'm not all the way through it yet. You can't just breeze through this. If you just went through it and looked at all the pictures and read what those pictures were and the explanations of them, you'd spend days on this book.
Aren't the pictures beautiful?
They're beautiful, but the artwork is not the best part of it. It's questions answered that you've had ever since you've been a Christian. I mean, it's just a marvelous thing. You need to get this because not only of the historical part of it, this is seven messages to the seven churches. And you need to get in this because this is a powerful thing. And I really, really, I really thank you for obeying God on this, Rick, and writing that because it's a marvelous thing. Praise God. And you know, there's a lot of people, particularly if you've never been here on this property, our partner center is here to serve you. We have prayer people here 24 hours a day. Now, I'm not talking about they off somewhere else, we pay them to pray. They're here. They're anointed. They're taught. They know how to pray, and they will stand with you in faith. Praise God. We've also got offices other places around the world. So in other areas, check it out because we're there for you. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland, Rick Renner, once again reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland will be in Langley, British Columbia for the Canada Victory Campaign, May 12th through 14th at the Langley Events Center. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher invite you to Behind the Mission Weekend in Secaucus, New Jersey, September 16th and 17th. For more information, go to kcm.org.